Welcome to another edition of BJ Shea's Board Game Alliance. And if you couldn't tell, I am not Joey D's. I am Vicky.
Paximus Prime, the purveyor of predominantly perfect pastimes.
Barcelona.
Cheater.
No cheating allowed.
Wow. Too bad.
But it was very robotic, so you win.
I win. I'll only do that once, maybe. With me, as always, we have Josh Utley of the Omega Gamers.
Hey, how's it going?
Also, Sean Epperson from Thing 12 Games.
Oh, hey.
And another guest joining us this week, kind of filling in for Joey D's, who's off getting drunk in Vegas. So if you see him, please pull his head out of the toilet.
or flush.
Roll over.
Yes. But instead, we have Ethan from Zulus.
Yeah, hello.
Which I think is a nice upgrade, don't you think?
Yeah.
Pretty good. Look better. That's
he
cool.
does play games. More. Although, side note, I did play Kemet with the old War Elephant Ralph, and he crushed us.
Is that what is that Joey's new name?
War Elephant Ralph?
Yep.
Good alliteration there, bud.
Nope, none.
Nope. Josh, before we get into shenanigans, how can people contact us?
Search bjgeeknation.com. You get all the podcasts, blogs, interviews, videos, links, and more.
And today.
Wow.
Not even a single
Let's try
one.
That again.
No.
And more.
No.
More. Okay,
I love that
now
you
can't
even know this. Yeah, shenanigans are afoot.
They are.
Because PAX. You guys have probably heard of this tiny little convention, you know, that just started. It's only one of the biggest, if not the biggest convention here in the Seattle area, PAX West.
Yes, PAX, one of many PAXes. PAX yep. West, PAX East, PAX South, PAX Dev, PAX Australia.
PAX Unplugged,
which there will be lots of content. Stay
yes,
tuned.
We will maybe be attending PAX Unplugged, which means
by maybe
we're going
means
to spoiler,
definitely.
We are.
Which means I might have tickets to go to Philadelphia. Yay, Philadelphia. but Ethan, apparently Zulus is going to be hanging out at PAX.
Zulus will be at PAX, yes. We're going to be in the new board game area, the Hyatt, mm-hmm. and also on the sixth floor of the main convention center, selling tons of new games. I don't, you know, want to spend the whole show naming all the games we're bringing, but we will have like Wingspan Root, Edge of Darkness, a lot of the hot, you know, Black Angel for uh-huh. sure. So
what's cool is I went to play games at Zulus this week, and they're prepping for PAX, and I got to play games in a box fort because there were so many boxes everywhere.
Oh my god, that's awesome!
While I was throwing boxes,
were you throwing them at him? Please tell
me. I should have,
maybe.
I should have, but you know,
boxes don't hurt.
Computer was there, so.
I know a lot of people think that PAX is just video games. That is not the case. They have nope. board games. I've even seen people play music at PAX Unplugged, or PAX Prime, or PAX West. There's so many.
Prime, you were correct.
Yes.
It was Prime, now it's West.
Yes, that's what threw me off. Me.
Prime.
Optimus Prime. Anywho, but if people are definitely at PAX, come say hi to Ethan.
Yeah.
Is there any game that you're really, really excited about?
Mostly Black Angel.
Black Angel.
I mean, we bought about 240 copies, so you could say we're a little excited for that one.
I know it's very, very good. I have got
Are
a
you chan- sure?
I got a chance to demo it.
And what would you rate it? Like, what kind of game is it?
It is
10 out of 10, right, Josh?
Yeah, it's close. I would put it at a 9 out of 10. Honestly, that's what I'm going to rank it when I buy it.
Sure.
It's a action selection worker placement-ish game
okay.
where you're just trying to keep a ship from getting blown up by Ravengers, keep the damage down, and you're also trying to skirt out around the big ship and get some alien technology to help you. You're going for validation points, and you want to validate the government that you represent because you're all robots in the game. And they're flying to a planet known as space.
Space.
To repopulate the human civilization. Your robots are doing that. So if you've seen Mother, it's very similar.
So what? Just a bunch of robots that want to watch us bang?
Wow.
No, they just want to get things started, but they were programmed by different governments, so of course they're corrupt as that word.
Yeah. So definitely go get that if you are at PAX.
This game is actually by Sebastian Dujardin, I'm probably butchering that, and artist Ian O'Toole, who are also famous for doing a game called Twa. And this is sort of like the next version of Twa, which is very much dice placement and using dice to take actions and all that sort of thing. So it's sort of the next iteration of that concept.
Yeah, and they knocked it out of the park. I've enjoyed it greatly.
So besides obviously going to check out Ethan and all the gang from Zulu's at PAX, is there anything you guys are excited to do or see?
Well, leading up to PAX, there's a couple events that other people may want to check out too.
Ooh.
There's a free one, and that one
Who
is through
free?
Microsoft. They do it every year. And of course, I closed the wrong thing.
So is it the Xbox Open House?
Yes, the ID at Xbox Open House will be on August 29th.
So what does that entail? Like,
You know all those new titles that Xbox and Microsoft are putting out?
Mm-hmm.
You can go to the Redmond Microsoft campus. You do need to RSVP. Go to the website. It'll be in the show notes. You RSVP. If you're under 13, they say bring a parent. But it's free, and you can demo before PAX the games they're bringing to PAX.
Holy crap.
On the Microsoft campus in Redmond.
Have you guys ever had a chance to go to the Microsoft campus by chance?
I worked there. But I worked there.
Does that count?
Thank you for playing along, Sean.
Yeah.
I feel left out.
It's pretty gorgeous.
It is.
So, and is there anything really cool that you would like to mention about the Microsoft campus? Like, check out the bathrooms. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, when I was working there, I was with the video game group. And, of course, they had actually stand-up arcades in all the hallways of the building that we were on. So you take a break and walk over and, you know, play some crazy game that you haven't seen forever that someone maintains. So that was always a lot of fun.
See, Microsoft is as cool as people think it is.
Yes, absolutely.
Like the campus. So,
yeah.
So that was a free event. Is there another event?
There is. This one is great. This one is super fun because it's gaming on top of the world.
Huh.
The top floor, the very top floor, the tippy top, not the roof, of the Columbia Tower is a night of gaming. This one you do need to buy tickets to. It's by FTW Events. And it's their fourth annual Gaming for Good on Top of the World PAX edition.
So Gaming for Good, I'm guessing there's a charity involved.
I'm guessing.
Yes. Yeah, they're absolutely. So actually, some publishers will be donating games to the event. And while you're there playing, they've got a big library, so you don't have to bring anything.
Oh, that's really cool.
So you just go there, you get to eat food and play games, and they're going to be doing a raffle. So every time that you donate money to the cause, to this great charity, you're getting raffle tickets, and then they start doing raffles for all kinds of cool games.
And it's benefiting the Imagine Guild for Seattle Children's Hospital. And,
oh, nice.
Like, I have a younger cousin who has cystic fibrosis. He's an adult now. Awesome. But since he was born up until he was 21, he spent a lot of time at Children's Hospital, Seattle Children's Hospital. And just to see all the cool stuff they have for kids, whether it's like their big video game machines they have, like it's this cool little TV that kind of rolls around from room to room, their playroom, all the games they have, they do a lot for them. So it's really awesome to see that there are programs like this to help kids when they're not doing so well.
So, yeah, that'll be on the 76th floor of the Columbia Tower.
And
the food is amazing.
It is.
We went there for, they do it similarly at Comic Cons. I think there was roasted chicken and scallops and, oh, my God, it was all great.
Yeah.
So, fun fact, if you're not from the Seattle area, Columbia Tower is the largest building in Seattle proper. So definitely check it out. If you've never been and seen the view from the Columbia Tower, the top floor, it is ridiculous. It is totally worth it. Plus, fun fact, it's only kitty corner to where we record these podcasts.
Other fun fact, don't ask me how I know this. The women's restroom on the 76th floor is amazing. It has a lounge with windows. The
how do you know that?
Why didn't I go to the bathroom when I went?
Honestly, they invited me in to see it.
So what is
I'll just leave it there.
So does the men's room, like right where the urinal is, you can look out? So
no,
can see
nothing
you?
In the men's room. Men's room is a men's room. The women's room has a couch along a window.
I honestly just
amazing.
Imagine they all look like that.
Yeah.
But I've never been in one like you.
Hey.
And
you gotta get invited more places.
As of the recording of this podcast, the general mission early bird tickets are sold out, as well as the VIP tier 1 tickets. So you can still get general mission tier 1, general mission tier 2, and VIP tier 2. So definitely check them out before they're all sold out. So what else do people have to look forward to for PAX?
Well, for PAX itself, that is Friday the 29th, Friday the 30th through Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Monday runs 4 days. It runs from 9:30 this year to midnight, except for on Sunday, it runs till 5.
That makes sense.
And then this year, for the obviously, there's going to be video games there. I'm going to try to see if I can't find Cyberpunk. That's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. I want to play. if they have a demo of Final Fantasy, all the video games, yes, that's going to happen. But this year, at the brand new Hyatt Regency, they are going to have 5 floors of tabletop gaming.
Holy crap.
They have, including Acquisitions Incorporated, is going to have a few panels. They're going to have their A, B, and C teams doing live D&D. But also, there's rumor that there's going to be a room where you can be an intern at Acquisitions Incorporated.
Okay, but what does that mean? Do I have to get coffee for somebody?
Probably.
I haven't been an intern for like 10 years. Like, what?
For this, you can go play D&D in the Acquisitions Incorporated setting.
Mm.
So you can go in, little room, get with some people, and have a blast with the most parody-rific game of D&D there is.
I know we are a board game alliance here, and we love our board games on this podcast. However, is there anything, I know you said that you're excited to see Final Fantasy, for you guys, is there anything you want to see that's not board game related? Or you're excited to play or learn more about? Any panels?
Wow. That was interesting. I'm actually really excited to see if Sony's going to have more information about their next-gen console. They've started putting out some pictures, so we might get to see some more information about that, considering it's such a big, huge kind of venue for that platform. So it'll be interesting to find out.
Okay, like side tangent here. I feel like the only really good thing that Sony really does is their console. Because if you tried checking out the Sony network for like movies and TV shows and stuff, no. I'm sorry. I tried watching Powers because I love the comic book and it was just not well executed. So hopefully they do put out a really good console.
I like to go into the con blind, not knowing what I'm going to see. Usually I'm working anyway, but I will have some time to walk around and I like to just be surprised. Like, oh my God, there's definitely things I want to see. But yeah, my mind's so hardcore on getting ready for PAX. It's like
it's just fried.
The indie mega booth is always great because you really get to see different things there. Just AAA titles are, of course, amazing, but indie really brings out the wow. I didn't know you thought about doing that.
The thing I love about PAX though too is that they do such a good job with just all the little details. Like, for example, I think 1 year when Mad Max came out, they had hired a bunch of Uber drivers.
That was awesome.
That looked like the Mad Max
They had a drivers. Guy who had literally had implants, like spikes implanted in his head. And that's just how he was. That wasn't for the thing. They hired that guy because, like, you look like a Mad Max driver.
And I tried to get all their numbers and it got awkward. Yeah. Sorry. Like, oh my God.
I was talking to them. They were awesome.
Oh, I do know one thing people should check out. That is the Oculus, the new version of that.
Ooh.
I've got a friend who has the newest one. He's got the $500 model.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually wireless. So
Oh, wow.
You don't have to be tethered to a computer. And we were out playing it behind Zulus. We wrapped up playing board games and we went out.
Thanks for inviting me.
there's a church parking lot and we scanned the area and I was off and playing.
I know that's what you were told you were doing behind Zulus. I'm sorry.
It got a little awkward there.
But it doesn't require a whole lot of light. They're like, just the street light was enough to give me light to be able to see, in this
that's
game world. And it's incredible.
It's fun until a car fires in and
just they were watching out for me. But,
first, it was Pokemon Go that got us nerds outside. Now it's going to be Oculus.
Well, if you want to stay inside, so level 3 at the Hyatt Regency is the Tabletop Expo Hall. That's all level 3 is. Level 4, Flibre Room.
Flibre. Love me some fleas.
Free play rooms.
Yay!
All free play rooms. Rooms.
The fleas cost extra.
Yes, they do. Level 5 is the tournaments area and additional free space. And including a tournament mystery game that's going to be 128 players.
Wow.
What?
That's crazy.
Would you like to know more?
Yes.
So would I, but it's a mystery.
You
Sorry.
Can get out of here with that. It makes me think of, have you guys played Two Rooms in a Boom?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's kind of what it makes me think of, like a really large game of a game like that.
Yeah, it could be Welcome Too, for all we know,
because
that game will play countless numbers of people. Level 6 is free play. If you don't have enough free play, there's more free play on level 6. And level 7 for, magic.
That's the Omega Protocol, right?
Level 7, the Omega Protocol. Yes, that's true. Magic events, all in Regency A. So, the magic players will be there. They keep our show running, so. Also, True Dungeon will be there.
What is True Dungeon?
True Dungeon is a true dungeon. The experience is that you're going in and you're going through a dungeon with your fellow teammates and you're all picking characters. And so you're kind of going through being able to attack and do stuff like that. It's really interesting.
Yeah, and I even had a customer come in who has done True Dungeon, and he had about, 100 poker chips of gear that he's gotten from them. So you can, buy these packs with these. They're basically poker chip size, and it says, your sword and your chainmail and stuff like that. And then people go online and buy them, and they'll bring full sets of gear with them to do True Dungeon, and they're already, geared up. It's pretty crazy.
Awesome.
Walks around with a poker chip saying, I am a paladin.
Just throw make it rain poker chips.
They don't work at the casino.
That would be awesome.
So well.
Lightning bolt, Chuck.
Also at the Regency will be the PAX First Look area, which, ooh, Ethan, I know Zulu's is having something to do with that.
Yeah, we've supplied a few games for them, and we're trying to get volunteers to help with that, so that'll be great. But
how could someone volunteer?
Right now, I just have people contact the store and kind of ask, but refresh. Right now, it's just been customers and people we kind of know who want to volunteer, and then we've been able to give them a 2-day badge, and then they work 2 days sort of situation.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
But they can they can call the store, email zulusgames.com or
Facebook.
Facebook works. Yeah, hey, I'm good at gaming. I know how to play games. And because they have 50 games there that are all brand new. So you have to come learn a game and then teach it to people for essentially 16 hours or maybe even longer. I'm not sure because I think the First Look open area might be open longer.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot of work, but then you get to go to PAX for 2 days for free. So
do it.
Do it.
So you're going to be there with pretty heavy presence.
Yeah, we're actually right next to the First Look area on the third floor of the Hyatt. And we're going to have a lot of those games that are available for sale. Some of them in the First Look area. Actually, a lot of them aren't out yet. So we won't have those. But we will have a lot of games there that you can go demo and then play. We'll be demoing some games in our booth. A rep from Renegade will be there demoing some of their games. And we'll have, even Sean will be coming by to demo, I think, Seals of Cthulhu, his new Kickstarter you can check out.
Yep.
And some other games, his older games like Dice of Crowns, Dice of Pirates, and Click Click Boom and stuff like that. So that'll be awesome.
So enough of that, because Sean don't need that. No, I'm just kidding.
Cut that.
Look at all that sass.
Now, Wingspan, that's been out for a while, but nobody can seem to get it. If I wanted one, do you have one?
I have a couple, about 130.
Dang.
Actually, we teamed up with Stonemaier, and they sent us all their games. So we have everything Stonemaier and a bunch of Wingspan. We're anticipating it will run out, but we will have it. So if you haven't been able to get your hands on one yet, do it early. Don't wait till the end of the con or something like that. You want to get it day one or two, because it's a very good chance they'll be gone.
Do you know your booth number on 6? Because that's the main store area, right?
Yeah, and we'll have a lot of the games at both locations. So on the third floor, we're TT27, right next to the First Look area. And then on the sixth floor of the convention center, we are 7501 under R&D Games, but it's actually us, Zulu's Games. So if you're where's Zulu's Games? I can't find them. It's under R&D Games. So please come check us out.
And you'll have all this information on your Facebook page?
I hope so.
If people get their job done right.
We have about 6 people that do our Facebook posts, so yeah, we'll have to get that figured out. But yes, we are promoting it as much as possible, and we want to see everybody's amazing face there and sell you awesome games. We have so many good games. Please come by.
So if you're going to PAX West, obviously you're going to play video games. Mm-hmm. But if that show floor closes at 6, 5, 6, something
6 o'clock,
like that,
yeah.
Well, tabletop goes till midnight, and that'll be at the Hyatt Regency, the brand new Hyatt Regency, and that is at 808 Howell Street in Seattle. That's just about a block and a half from the convention center. So if you want to play tabletop the rest of the night, because who wouldn't, come find us over there.
And sometimes, there's a lot of noise and visuals going on. You can just get visually overstimulated, and you need a break. You just need to kind of calm down, chill out. I mean, they're going to have spaces like that, but also just, playing some board games is a good way to kind of cool out and chill out and then go back to the con.
Yeah, essentially, you're conned out, you've done all the video games, you're tired of waiting in lines. Come over to the Hyatt at 6 o'clock, get a board game, sit down, have a lot of fun, you know, we'll be there to supply you, but there's also tons of demos to play too. So it's not like you have to buy something.
And it's always really awesome to check out. I know our buddy Dr. B does takethis.org. They do have those quiet areas. If you guys just need a quiet moment, like away from everybody, with volunteers and professionals.
And as for after parties, well, just because midnight means get out of the convention center, check the local bars surrounding. There will be after parties. I don't have a specific one, but I know I've been invited to a couple.
There's a bunch.
So you will find them.
They generally have some free booze and free food, too. So
yep.
They're always great.
So we've been sitting here talking all things PAX, which I could do for 4 hours.
Yeah.
No, Vicky, don't run and hide.
I know.
But you brought a box with you.
I did. I brought
a box. What's in the
box? Yeah.
We would like to know what's in the box.
Well, it's not making noise anymore, so that's weird.
I'm
I think
scared.
It's alive. No, I'm just kidding.
Do yeah. not like.
Here, do you want to open it?
He's peeking. Oh,
sure. Yeah,
you know,
I'll open it.
So for the listener, this box is closed, and he's been holding it in a very strange way.
Joey would be here, and so he's missing out. Sorry.
Oh, is it a war elephant?
It's a mini war elephant, yeah.
Well, that'd be awesome.
No, it's not.
A little run around.
So
I can
now
take
we're
it on an airplane as my emotional war elephant
box. Oh, you can hear the box opening.
You can hear
it. Sounds like ASMR
right
now.
Right?
It's pie.
Oh my gosh, it totally is.
It's a legit pie.
It's a peanut butter pie.
There's pie
what?
In the box.
What? Okay, for those
we
who
got
not, why is there a peanut butter pie in here?
Why shouldn't there be peanut butter pie in here?
What is the background story? Because it is pretty awesome.
Well, Zulu sells peanut butter pie with amazing ice cream, and we all order it every time. And now we can order a little bit less because we have peanut butter pie.
You're not going to order anything less.
This one's on the house because you guys buy so much. So.
Well, thank Aww. You. We really appreciate that.
Suck it, Joey, for not being here.
Yep.
So what are you guys doing for lunch? I'm good.
Apparently you have to share that.
Oh, I do?
We're going to be rescuing Josh from a diabetic coma, apparently. Is what's going That's amazing. Thank you, Ethan,
it's
for
the
bringing that
in.
Sorry I couldn't bring the ice cream, but...
No.
Well, you should try harder, sir.
I know. And I do want to quote your nephew, I believe.
Ah, yes.
It's too peanut buttery. This pie tastes too much like peanut butter.
Yes, I took my nephew to play Friday Night Magic. He had a piece of peanut butter pie and said, it's just too peanut buttery.
How's that bad? It's a peanut butter pie.
Their peanut butter pie is an amazing peanut butter pie.
It really is.
Highly recommend it.
AKA come to Zulu's and get a peanut butter pie.
All right, so I know typically we do quick starters around now, but I figure we'll save that for next week because I got something I want to see if I can make you cry. It is a meme.
Memes.
Don't stop touching the pie.
I love memes. Don't worry. Oh, okay.
It was a Twitter thread, and I thought it was really awesome, and it's about D&D. So the guy writes, my grandmother passed away. Her funerals were today, but here I'd like to talk about the most important thing I couldn't spend too much time on in her eulogy, her love of Dungeons & Dragons. She started very late at 75, only a little over a year ago. So one day I simply asked her if she'd like to try, and always when presented with something new, she'd say, of course. So I grabbed my PHB and built up a character together. My grandmother chose to be a forest gnome because they seemed the most happy of all the races, and she really likes the fact that she could talk to small animals. She went with the druid just to double down on the animal friendship theme. Also, when we went through the character traits, I asked her, do you want to be a boy or a girl? And she answered right away, well, I've been a girl my whole life. It'd be fun to try being a boy for once. So we were making her character sheet, rolling her stats. She gets a 17 and puts it in WIS.
Is that Wisdom.
Wisdom. Okay. I don't
know.
Duh. And choosing her first spells, and I ask her if she has a name in mind. I don't know, I'll find one by tomorrow. That night, she does something that even I never expected. She goes on the internet and reads every piece of lore she can find about gnomes. She barely knew how to Google, and yet here she was browsing Wikipedia articles and D&D fan sites. The next day, right before we play, for the first time, she reveals that her name in the party is the Terminator. Like Terminite?
Terminator?
Yeah. Oh, and she'd also had drawn him. Thing wow. is, she didn't even know about the Terminator, although she probably heard the name somewhere and came back subconsciously. She doesn't speak English, so she has no idea about the connotation. She made up the name from termite because she liked the idea of gnomes living in burrows and nature because she was a druid. So both worlds are the same in French. Both words are the same in French, and so she dropped the final E because, I kid you not, it's cooler. So we start playing, and it was a new campaign starting at first level, and I decided to approach it like a series of one-shots so that players could come and go without having to bend the story when a character is absent. Essentially, when adventurers sent on a mission, they're adventurers sent on missions by their guild. The party is made up of a Kalashtar sorcerer, a half-elf ranger, and our little gnome druid, who never goes anywhere without her goose friend. They chose to undertake the cleansing of a reportedly haunted house, and that's when I knew my grandmother would fall in love with RPGs. They explore the house a bit, and in the night, get attacked by the kitchen table, who turns out to be a mimic. My grandmother's genuinely scared by the light horror movie vibes, but she's smiling through it all. My grandmother lives it, so much so that sometimes she has to close her eyes to calm herself down. Now, I'm not particularly good nor experienced DM, but she made me feel like I was at Chris Perkins D&D or at Matthew Mercer, which I'm guessing are pretty big.
Yes,
they're big DMs, yes.
Unwilling to get too close to the mimic, she cast her first time a cantrip that would become her signature spell, Thorn Whip. From then on, she would use Thorn Whip anytime she could, or when she didn't know what to do, she'd love that spell. So anyway, she casts it and makes her very first attack roll, natural 20. The whole table went wild, by which I mean the players, not the mimic. It couldn't have been more perfect. Thus, the Terminator was born. The party ended up establishing this house as their home base, and she made it a home. Over the season, she would druidcraft to literally grow a kitchen table where the mimic had been, and planted a vegetable garden where she invented a new fruit. The fruit that she named Sipple would months later serve as a bargaining chip with fairies that were tending to the Fae orchard. It eventually led to Terminator becoming a member of the multi-planner ecology group, the Circle of the Green Hand. I invented Terminator to be part of this group by sending him a letter in real life to my grandmother's address. She was ecstatic, and she answered in the same way by sending me a letter written entirely in character. She covered it in old stamps representing trees and dragons. And she even, I can't read it because it's in French, but it is adorable. The last few months were rough. She had been fighting against pancreatic cancer, and things had took a turn for the worst. Sometimes the pain and exhaustions from chemo were too much to bear, and she couldn't play. She still did it when she could, though, and she updated her drawing. The colors of the Terminator's outfit was inspired by the comic book character Bekatsini, that she loved since she was a kid, because it's a national treasure and one of the most recognizable characters in France, even though she was virtually unknown outside her homeland. And by the way, we decided that canonically, the Terminator looks like hashtag dice camera action Simon, as drawn by the amazing Jenico. So if you guys go to our Facebook page, I'll post a link to this so you can see the little drawings, because they are adorable. I almost forgot to mention, my grandmother also is the one who came up with the party's name. In the campaign, my players all wear real necklaces with little trinkets that they found in their adventures that I hand out to them as rewards to them. Medals, rings, monster teeth. By the way, that is awesome. If I'm ever a DM, I'm doing that. My grandmother was particularly overloaded, so one day she comes up with a potential name, Les Bijoueurs Fantatistes, the Fanciful Jewelers. It was so funny and unexpected, and everyone loved it at once, and they've been calling themselves ever since, shortened for BF. So less than a month ago, the cancer took her whole body, and she was hospitalized and stayed there until her passing on Wednesday morning. The last thing she told me was, never change, never lose your family spirit, and keep on playing Dungeons & Dragons. So the BF will go on without their druid. And in all my future campaigns, players will hear of a legendary planner traveler gnome with a goose on his head that lives on gives out strange fruit, cracks his whip, and disappears. Here's to the best grandma in the world. I miss her already.
Aww.
So I'm like, aww. I'm not crying, you're crying. I had a hard time reading that. But imagine waking up early this morning and reading that. So I had troubles this morning.
The magic of tabletop gaming.
Yeah. Do you guys have any cool moments? You don't have to go into that much detail, but is there a game that's special to you? And if you can tell us why?
There's one for me, and
I got one too.
It's one of the games that we published, Click Click Boom, but mm-hmm. It wasn't that. It was the experience, the reason why I do gaming, and it was basically watching these kids and the family all interacting together and just laughing hysterically, and the kids blowing up dad, and just just seeing that pure joy that was within the family, and knowing that they were having this wonderful experience, and just kind of being a part of that, and those sort of things always stick with me.
We started doing board games at my dad's house on Friday nights, just because he had some knee surgeries and kind of lost a lot of mobility. But he grew up in Nevada. He was dealer at tables and all that kind of stuff. So Camel Up was a huge hit with him. And he would always take the long shots, and always it would pay off. It'd be like, Blue's in the back, Dad, taking that five. You're going to have to pay. No, it'll be good. And, of course, Blue would somehow that make game. It to the front.
He sounds like a gambling man.
Yeah. Every time.
The last time we played, the red camel was in dead last, and it won.
Of course it did.
Due to the new black and white camels that
go backwards camels.
And he was just, they was brought the other guys back, and he leapfrogged them, and oh my god.
That's awesome.
It was phenomenal. For me, it's Talisman, I think first or second edition or something like that. That is the first board game that I really played as a kid, and I was introduced to also hating board games at the same time. You know, like the spite factor.
Oh yeah. So playing with Sean is what you're saying.
No, well, I was like 12 or 11. I played in this game store that was like in a dungeon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Allegiance Games back in the day. Also a local guy, Dave Girard. And he had Talisman. It was the first time I was really introduced to a board game that wasn't Monopoly or those sorts of games. And my friend played the Goblin Fanatic, and he got up to the dragon, and he rolled a double six and killed the dragon. And we're like, dang it, we lost. Okay, that was a fun game. Later that night, I was laying in my bed awake like, man, what could I have done differently? And I started remembering like, hey, wait a minute. If it says on the Goblin Fanatic card, if he ever rolls double sixes, he wraps his ball and chain around his neck and kills himself. And it just like was like, damn it, we could have kept playing and I could have won.
Aww.
And it ruined me for weeks. Like the next day in school, I was like, you didn't actually win. That was an asterisk win. So, yeah.
Spite. So it's what fuels you is the anger and the hate.
I loved it. Like, you got to play again. That was amazing.
And that was what was it? Your origin story to board gaming.
That was like my crossover into real board gaming. And Talisman's not even a real board game still, but I love that game.
Well, thank you, Ethan, for joining us on BJ Shea's Board Game Alliance. Definitely check out everything we talked about today on my blog. And Josh, take it away.
Play nice.